Lord's mercy is on me.
The EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents
Believe the Impossible and You Can Do the Incredible.
Fulton Sheen,
a prophet for our times.
What a blessing is our faith.
Hello, I'm Father Andrew Apostoli, a member of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. Welcome to this series entitled Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, a prophet for our times. We're filming this segment in St. Patrick's Cathedral, right before the Mary Chapel. This was Bishop Sheen's favorite place. You see behind me the Blessed Sacrament, exposed on the altar, the veneration by the faithful, and also the statue of our Blessed Lady. It's brought together his two great loves, the love of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament and the love of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Bishop Sheen used to refer to Our Lady as the woman I love. He was consecrated to the Blessed Virgin Mary by his mother on the day of his baptism. He was baptized in St. Mary's Church in El Paso, Illinois, and after the baptism, his mother placed him on the altar and consecrated him to the special care of Our Lady. On the day of his first Holy Communion, young Fulton consecrated himself again to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in his little Holy First Communion book, he had a litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and he recited it in the time of his first communion. For the rest of his life, he would recite that litany every day. Mary played an immense part in his life. It could be reflected in the motto he chose when he became Bishop of Rochester. The words under his coat of arms were in Latin, Da per matrem me venire, translated, Grant, Lord, that I may come to you through your mother. And that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to come to Jesus through Mary because he knew that Mary would be the safest and surest means of coming to our Blessed Lady. His love for Mary was reflected in the fact that every Saturday as a priest, he promised to offer Mass when he could in honor of Our Lady, asking her protection and guidance in his priestly life. He said that that was a venerable tradition in the church because he said when the apostles of Jesus had left him at the time of his crucifixion and the other disciples had gone away because the Lord was in the tomb, Our Lady stayed near and she received a special apparition of our Lord. And from that time on, Saturday has always been a time of special honor for the Blessed Virgin Mary and special efficacy. And that's why we honor in a special way every Saturday. Blessed Mother also was not only the one he went to for all of his help and intercession, but he also learned from her the way of the cross. He said he would never complain about suffering because he said the Blessed Virgin Mary was without any sin. She didn't deserve to suffer. And yet God asked of her, the Heavenly Father asked of her to have a big share in the cross of her son and his suffering. And she bore that suffering out of love for Jesus and out of love for you and me. And so Bishop Sheen was inspired to want to bear suffering in imitation of Our Lady. At the end of his life, when he suffered greatly from a heart condition, he said that Our Lady gave him not only sweets, but at that time a kind of bitter medicine, because three times on three successive feasts of Our Lady in the year that he died, 1979, he suffered greatly. For example, he suffered on July 16th. He was in the hospital for open heart surgery. And on that day, he became very ill. On the Feast of the Assumption, August 15th, he had to have emergency surgery to implant a pacemaker. That's how ill he had become. And he was dreading September the 8th, the Feast of the Holy Name of Mary, the Feast of the Birth of Our Lady. And he was dreading that feast. And sure enough, he suffered a severe kidney infection that day. So Our Lady was allowing him to share suffering on her feast days for the salvation of souls. And he took that suffering as a special sign of Our Lady's love and concern for him.
Here was a young woman, having seen her divine son crucified, and then taken down and put in her lap as a kind of a grain chalice. And yet she's not broken with grief. There's not sadness. There is peace.
One of his favorite places was to visit Lourdes. In fact, the first time he visited there was when he went to Louvain to study.
He went to Lourdes some 14 times. Two miracles happened to him at Lourdes.
He had just enough money to pay his car fare to Lourdes, but he had no money to pay for a hotel nor to pay for any food. But he trusted in the Blessed Mother, and he stayed there 9 days. And each day, he kept up a novena to Our Lady that she would take care of all his bills. Well, it was the ninth day, and there was no answer in the morning, no sign of help in the afternoon. So he went over in later afternoon to the shrine, and he was praying there at the shrine, the grotto of Our Lady at Lourdes, and he felt a tap on his shoulder, and he turned around, and this man said to him, would you travel with my wife and I and act as an interpreter for us? And also, have you paid your bill at your hotel? So Our Lady came through on the ninth day, paying for his bill and providing for transportation.
I had the privilege of going to Lourdes with him three times. Once before I entered the convent, and I remember after everyone had gone to bed, I went down to the grotto, and that's where I said, I think I have to enter the convent, but not yet. And 2 years later, I did enter the convent and went back with him several times. And I remember being in the great plaza outside of the Rosary Cathedral, and he would just walk, and people, it was like a magnet, people just flocked around him.
I went to Lourdes with him, and you could just see how happy he was to be there.
We know that Bishop Sheen would come to this chapel of Our Lady here before all of his radio programs and his television shows. When the radio programs he did right across the street at Rockefeller Center at NBC, the television programs he did in various places not too far from here. But he always spent time in prayer before he would go on the air, before he would preach. He always sought to draw strength from the Eucharist and from Our Blessed Lady. All of his books were dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary. When he was in charge, when he was the national director of the Society of the Propagation of the Faith, every afternoon around 3 o'clock, he would gather all the people that worked there, the staff, and also invite any visitors to pray the rosary. So the people would pray the rosary, and then he would speak to them for about 15 minutes about the mysteries of the rosary. And someone who worked there at the time described it as like a family affair. It was the highlight of everyone's day.
Say a rosary, keep an image or statue in your home. And if you are advanced enough, say some of the office of Our Lady. If you want someone converted, pray to her.
That love of Our Lady certainly was very, very special to him. He even had a special statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He had a special statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary, called Our Lady of Television. And he had that on his set when he did his series on TV, Life is Worth Living. He always said he had the Blessed Mother behind him, and he would always kneel in prayer before her. So he was watched over by Our Lady. He also had a great love for Our Lady of Fatima. He went there about 10 times during his lifetime, and he predicted that Our Lady of Fatima would bring about the conversion of Russia, that communism would be overcome. Remember, he had preached so strongly against the errors of communism and its dangers. He also has said that Our Lady of Fatima will bring about the conversion of the Muslim peoples. So he had a great, great trust. He also asked people often to pray to Our Lady for him. When he became Bishop of Rochester on December 15, 1966, this is what he told the congregation that came to Sacred Heart Cathedral there in Rochester for his installation. He said, "Pray for me daily to Mary, my patroness, that as she formed Jesus physically in her body, so may she form Jesus mystically in my soul, the better to serve you with a passionless passion and a wild tranquility." So he kept asking Our Lady,
prayers of Our Lady, especially to help him deal with suffering. You know, I mentioned the examples of the times that he suffered on the feasts of Our Lady close to the time of his death. And perhaps one thing that is very much associated with Bishop Sheen and his love for Our Lady was the beautiful poem that he always said, and with such a childlike devotion to Mary, and that was the poem entitled Lovely Lady Dressed in Blue.
Lovely lady dressed in blue, teach me how to pray.
No one said it like him. He said it with a meaning, a depth that touched the hearts of all who heard him. He always prayed that he would die on the feast of Our Lady, or at least on a Saturday dedicated to Her Blessed Mother, and that he would die before the Blessed Sacrament. Well, he died on December the 9th at about 1 o'clock in the morning. That's when the doctors estimate, which later on that day became the feast of Blessed Juan Diego, who worked with Our Lady of Guadalupe to promote the work of evangelization among the Aztec and Mayan Indians. I think someday, Bishop Sheen will be recognized for his great work of evangelization, and no doubt Our Lady was working with him, and her intercession was felt very powerfully in his life.
I'm from a family of 10 children. And so whenever he was on television, then we would watch as a family. And the effect that he had on especially the older children, because the young ones were too young to understand, but especially the older children, was identifiable in the sense that that we were proud of being Catholic. His way of expressing affected our family worship. For instance, my father began, as he would ride us to school during the day, which was about a half hour ride, and he claimed it was just to keep us quiet and not to fight with one another in the car, he began to say the rosary, so that every single day we would say the rosary. And still my family, whenever we get in a car to travel any distance, we always say the rosary with one another. And my father knew all the mysteries, and he got everything down, and he led it. And he also clipped the Hail Marys. He'd come in before the last word, and you know, the Irish way of saying the rosary. But he was influenced by Bishop Sheen and his talks about the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Bishop Sheen's discussion on the rosary has tuned me into why that's important, renewing my relationship with the Father and the Son. And I understand who Our Lady is. Anyone who's watching this who's disabled knows how difficult it can be. There are many fears and anxieties, but it's a centering prayer. I find myself in their company, and I feel a lot closer to heaven because of the rosary.
One final little thought about the bishop's love for Our Lady is in the fact that when he would pray to her, he often felt that when he died, he was hoping that our Lord, when he saw him, would say to him, "My mother has told me all about you." And I have no doubt that when he appeared before the Lord on the day of his death, the Lord said precisely that to him.
Holy Spirit, for the conversion of sinners, and in reparation for the sins committed against your Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Amen.
If you would like to write to us at EWTN, we would love to hear from you. Our address is EWTN, 5817 Old Leeds Road, Irondale, Alabama, 35210. Or check out our website at www.ewtn.com.
Let's return to Fulton Sheen, a prophet for our times, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
One other sign of Bishop Sheen's love for the Blessed Virgin Mary was seeing the fact that he always put JMJ, the initials JMJ, at the top of his famous blackboard during his TV series Life is Worth Living, and top of all his papers, his letters. He always put those letters, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. He dedicated everything he did to Jesus, Mary, and Saint Joseph. One other very interesting story that comes out of Bishop Sheen's devotion to Our Lady, especially Our Lady at Lourdes, was when he finished his studies at Louvain, he wondered if he'd ever get back to Europe to be able to see the Blessed Mother. And actually he was able, ultimately he made 30 trips to Lourdes. But he went to the shrine at Lourdes and he had finished saying Mass, and he said that he wanted from Our Lady a sign that he would be able to return, and he made it very specific and he made it very challenging to Our Lady. Here's what he wrote. He said that the sign he asked for was that after I offered the holy sacrifice of the Mass and before he would reach the outer gate of the shrine, he wanted a little girl aged about 12 dressed in white who would give him a white rose. About 20 feet from the gate I could see no one. I remember saying, you had better hurry, there is not much time left. As I arrived at the gate, a little girl, age 12, dressed in white, gave me a white rose. So Our Lady gave him the sign that he would return, and as I say, he returned altogether 30 times.
He loved Lourdes, and he loved Our Lady. That's why we have the Lady of Television and the statues and the rosary beads, you know, the World Mission Rosary. God Love You medal. There was never a time that he didn't speak about Our Lady.
In other words, the Blessed Mother stands for the beginning of the church. Our Lord is the head of the church. He's the spouse. She's the bride. And there's already the beginning of the church, beginning of a family. It's John. Then at Pentecost, what do you find? You find how the family has grown. There are 120 there at Pentecost. And the Blessed Mother and the apostles in the midst of them all. So that you married people, when you came to the altar, you were told, the bridegroom was told, you stand for Christ. And the bride was told, you stand for the church. So what we're happening, what is we see here, therefore, is the beginning of the church, in which Christ now is the head of the church, the heavenly bridegroom. The Blessed Mother is the beginning of the church, the new Eve. And as many children came from Eve, so many children now are coming from Mary. And this is the reason why women cannot be priests. Because it is man who gives the seed. The woman says, our Blessed Lord says, the Word is the seed. For example, I am giving you the Word now. I'm giving you the Word that is the seed of life. That was what Christ was doing. And who was the Blessed Mother? The Blessed Mother receives the seed. The woman receives the seed, nourishes it, fosters it, brings it to life, educates it, loves it,
certainly a remarkable sign of his love for Our Lady and of Our Lady for him.
For more audio and videotapes by Archbishop Sheen, contact Keep the Faith Foundation at www.keepthefaith.org or write to Keep the Faith Foundation, 50 South Franklin Turnpike, Ramsey, New Jersey, 07446.
Join us again next week at this time when Father Andrew Apostoli examines the life and work of Archbishop Fulton Sheen here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.